we have been laying off certain foundations for us as a people and as a ministry. And I've been taking some time. I think it's right. I did this and I approached it in this manner. One of the things that I believe God's doing in our midst is that He's spontaneously raising people for the work of a ministry. Yeah, He is. But the work might just get a bit difficult with Him if we do not have the right training. Right? Yes. If we do not have the right culture, we do not have the right upbringing in response to whatever that happens, you know, you might even frustrate the grace of God. But we're not going to frustrate God's grace. Is that we're going to give our hearts to being taught, give our hearts to learning, give our hearts to receiving, right? Give our hearts to more of pruning, you know, so that we can do what God wants us to do and we can receive what God wants us to receive. And so, one of the things I want to touch on tonight is just a continuation on yesterday's teaching on us as a people learning how to respond rightly, especially in teaching meetings, right? So one of our main emphasis yesterday was that you must be easily impressed. Are you listening? Be easily impressible, right? I told you that. And we're going to be a people, a supernatural people, who cause things happen. And we're going to see the supernatural in ways as never seen before. We will have to have this nature of being easily impressed. Now, when I say being easily impressed, it's one of the great attributes of a child. Right? One of the great attributes of a child. A child is easily impressed. And no wonder God's kingdom are going to be full of children. Now, these children will not have anything to do with physique, but it has everything to do with the nature of the heart with which they flow and respond. So, oftentimes, we are going to see much more if we all can have childlike hearts, is to be easily impressed. You know, an adult, when you buy him something, he just gets it and just throws it somewhere. You'll find out how a child can jubilate because you bought him a toy gun. He's easily impressed. He's easily excited. So it happens similarly with the supernatural. I just got up from a meeting, prophetic meeting actually, and God moved really mightily. And I am still impressed, but I saw it. It's not anything strange. Do you see that? Yeah. And there are things I see and I know. And I know I see and I know. And I flow in details, exact details. It's not strange to me. I'm not moved by that, but anytime it happens, I'm like, wow, you know, what a blessing, right? Is that I make up myself to be easily impressed, right? So become easily impressed. When you lay hands and something happens, don't say it is small, right? Be impressed, be excited, know how to celebrate the things that God does with your hands. I'm telling you on how to see greater flows, greater miracles, greater signs, greater wonders. I was just imagining one of the very earliest times I opened somebody's ear by the grace of God on my life who couldn't hear. It was the first time, that was about in 2018 or so. 2018 or so. I was just remembering today of some of the things that God had used me to do right in the service. And his ears popped open. And I was like, wow. I don't believe we can't see miracles. Listen to me, people of God. We are yet to see miracles. We're yet to see miracles. Miracles, forget that one. We are yet to see great, 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 great miracles. Yeah? And so I'm teaching you, I've told you, whatever I teach you, you know, one of the things about the teaching ministry that I've discovered is that oftentimes, not everybody knows how to teach what God has taught them and to teach what God has helped them experience. Now, we don't teach our experiences. We don't do that. But there are certain experiences that are needed, all right? You know, to help other people come to the reality of what is being taught. So, one of the graces of a teacher is that he's able to clearly explain through God's written word, right, in clarity, so that men can understand. Now, it's in the understanding of men of this reality clearly explained that they begin to walk in it. So, you can see me have supernatural ease in my life. The gateway to having you walk in that is to be able to explain that to you through the word of God. Now, as I explain that to you, I make it clearer and clearer to you what it means to walk in that. And then you also start seeing yourself walk in that. And then, you know, in other cases where hands are laid, you know, and things are insisted. When hands are laid, I told you, when I lay hands on you, people of God, okay, in this ministry, never see hands laid on you as a common thing. Eh? When I lay hands on you, something happens. I know it. You start seeing yourself just become more efficient with ministry. It's with me. Even my brothers. My brothers prophesy. They prophesy freely. I'm not talking about people who struggle to. No, they actually flow. Last time my mom was sick, right in the bed, almost dying. It was my 9-year-old brother that laid hands on her. And she got up and she started walking. And she was totally fine. Someone who was saying, I'm going to die. I was in Takwa by then. Yes. So, when I lay hands on you, when my hands come upon you, listen, don't take it as lightly. Are you listening? That's how we can do great things for God. I was speaking to Pastor Pastor Prince tonight, and he said, make sure you lay hands on them. We need more Prophet Pascals around. And then I smiled. Listen, as I lay hands on you, things are going to happen. That was what Pastor said. He said, we need more Prophet Pascals around. And that's how it happens. That's how it happens, right? So I'm teaching you all of these things so that you begin to respond rightly. You know how to receive. It's like you're always right on that edge to receive. You know how to. And that's why I teach you, be easily impressed. Are you listening? Be easily impressed. Be easily impressed. Be easily impressed. Be like a child, one that celebrates miracles, that celebrates things. Do you understand? Tonight, I'm just going to take you through just a short study on responding rightly. Right? Responding rightly. God's word, God's move. We spoke about learning how to speak in tongues while the word of God comes to you. Right? Stand up and say, yes, sir, I'm hearing you, sir. It's all in the response. Yeah. All in the response. Say, lift up your hands. Your hand is lifted. It's in the response. In the teaching of God's word is that hunger. I said yesterday, even your faces is a response. When we look at your faces, we're looking at your face, we say, ah, this guy is not interested at all. Because he's frowning. He's waiting to see what I have to say. Right? But don't be like that. We're people that knows how to respond. Right? Typical example of response we're going to look at rightly to God's word, rightly to teachings, right? Exodus chapter 3. I just want to take you through a quick one. Exodus chapter 3. Something has changed, though. Something has changed. If you are still here and you don't know something has changed, God gives you eyes to see. God gives you eyes to see and you see clearly. Something has changed. Eh? Something has changed. Something has changed. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. So, right here in the Old Testament, we're seeing a typical story. All of these things that were written aforetime for our learning, for our example. So, we could take lessons from them, all right? We could learn from them. We could see how they did it, and we can also repeat it and do it the same. So, there's an interesting story, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto a man who was called Moses in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, right? What did Moses do? And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. So, what did Moses do right from the onset? Is that he looked, right? He looked. That's what Moses is doing. Moses is looking. Not many people know how to look, especially when the word of God is coming. So, in very simple terms, he gave attention to, right? He had his gaze on. He gave attention to. So, Moses, right, when the word of God is about coming, is seeing something supernatural happening, right? Either a flow in the spirit, a tongue and an interpretation, a song that comes in the spirit of the moment. But one of the things he's doing is that he's giving attention to. Now, he says to himself, after he had given attention to, I will now turn aside and see. So, Moses is turning aside to see. So, in his beholding, he actually turns aside to see. Moses learns to realize, no, there's a distraction I have to leave. There's a focus that I must have. Many of the times, as the word of God is about hitting that important spot of which it should cause real transformation, you find out that people are distracted. People are distracted. People are distracted. I can't count the number of times that I've gone into meetings to prophesy, and then somebody that the Lord was actually speaking to me about actually leaves the meeting. I can't count how many times. It's almost like they're right in the meeting, And they're supposed to be paying attention. They're supposed to be leaving off distractions. They're supposed to have their focus on the Word of God as it comes, whether in teaching or whether in ministering in the Spirit. And then they walk out of the meeting. They walk out of the meeting. So you get to realize that oftentimes there's an effect God's Word is supposed to have. It does not have in their hearts because they are not responsive. They do not know what it means to respond rightly. So Moses in this turn is saying, I will now turn aside. Turning aside will be putting your phone down. When the Word of God is coming, putting your phone down, put your phone down. In fact, you shouldn't even have your phone ringing. I'm amazed when we get into a meeting and someone's phone is ringing. It's like you're just trying to disrupt the meeting. You're trying to disrupt what God is going to do. And probably the meeting is not there. I mean, the phone ring is not even a very spiritual song. Before you hear some Kwame Eugene line right there in the ringtone, and everybody gets confused. What's going on here? No. So there are times where we must know where we are, and we must treat those places as very sacred. I'll show you. It's right there in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, he has it. And Moses said, I will turn now, turn aside, and see this great sight, why the bush is not burning. So right there, he's left the distractions. He's left the things that will... Meanwhile, the Word of God is coming. Somebody is chatting with somebody at the back. Listen to me. Let me tell you. Because of what God is going to be doing with us, I need to teach you this. Even in a meeting, when you see someone talking to you, meetings, you see someone talking to you, like talking to you in a way, you don't have to talk back. You don't have to talk back. You don't have to talk back. You have to totally ignore. Are you listening? Because that fellow can be a distraction. So when we get into meetings, it's not the time to even be smiling because you both remembered of something at home. And then you're having chit-chats amongst your mates. No, that's the time to turn aside and see what sight is happening. See why the bush is not burning. Now, there's something supernatural happening right here in this verse. But Moses should be able to turn aside and see. Now, verse 4, follow closely. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. I mean, why didn't God call while he was still quite a distance away and not turning aside? But God calls, that moment he turns aside. So the moment they are adequate measures in place to seize distractions are the times you are most likely to be blessed. God calls. It means God begins to make his plan. God begins to make his voice. God begins to make what he wants to do much clearer to you as the Word of God comes. So there's an attention. There's an attention. There's an attention you need. There's an attention that you need. Right there in that meeting, there's an attention that you need. There's a focus that you need. And that will be very similar to turning away. So, these are responses that are so much needed. as God's word comes to you, as there's a supernatural thing happening, is to turn aside. While the push is not bent, something supernatural is happening. And as the Lord sees that you are focused on Him and you're not distracted, He now begins to see. It now gets clearer. Oftentimes, let me tell you what, in a teaching meeting, the word of God that comes is 100% set to bless everyone 100%. The word of God that comes is 100% sent to benefit everybody 100%. But you see that somebody leaves with 60, somebody leaves with 80, another leaves with, someone even leaves with 15, someone leaves with 95. Not because God intended to bless one with 95% of God's word and bless another with 60. No, it's an open call party. Come and eat of that word that's being shared. Come and eat of that word that is being shared. And someone decides to eat 80%. Somebody decides to eat 96%. Somebody decides to eat 99.9%. And someone decides to eat 2%. So, you realize that people leave meetings blessed differently. Don't be deceived. When we leave a meeting, not everybody is blessed the same. But everybody's blessing in that meeting determines of how much more they take from that meeting. How much more attention they pay in that meeting. How much more they're praying in the spirit in that meeting. How much more their hearts are open. Not many hearts are open during teaching services. Their hearts are far away. If you ask them, what did you say? Hey, what's up, Pastor? Please, what did you say? No. Your heart needs to be right there in the teaching. So, Moses is turning to see. He's turning away from the distraction. And the moment that he turns, the word of God begins to bless him. And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, Moses, and the Lord said, God called out to him. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. Now God is calling, and much more, there's the right response. Here am I. You see, not many people know how to use the word for their advantage. The Lord is saying something. How is he saying that? Through the word of God, through his spirit, as he ministers to you. Says, Moses, Moses, the word of God is calling out to you. There is a response. When we say, the supernatural is with you, don't sit in the service and say, nothing. No, you see, yes sir, there is supernatural is with me. Say, your eyes are opening, your ears are on stop to hear and to see and to flow. Say, yes, sir, my eyes see, my ears hear, glory! There is a supernatural response to what you should do. You need to know how to respond. You need to know how to respond. And it is very supernatural. Because, I mean, God could have said, Moses, 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 that's wrong response. Yes. That's wrong response. Say, be healed. You say, oh, it's not gone. Wrong response. But the Lord says, Moses, he says, here am I. Right response. So, we must begin to learn how to respond to the word of God. Say, you are healed. You say, yes, sir, I'm healed. Right response. Now, response will not only be verbal. I've already said this in a different way, but I want to say it in response to God's word. Response will not always be verbal, right? Listen, it's also in actions. I taught you this when I spoke about learning to rejoice, right? So, when Moses said, here am I, that's in word. Now, listen to the instruction. And he said, draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for this place wherein they stand thou standest is holy ground. So, after he responds with his words, there are requisite actions. There are following actions. Right? There are actions that he needs to do to show that actually he has responded. That's the standing up. Are you listening? That's the rejoicing. That's the running around in reckless abandon. That's the twirling around. Is the action, right, that you need after you are responding by your words. So, God is expecting an action from you. In meetings, in services, as the word of God comes, he's expecting an action from you. Sometimes a simple action might be just praying in the spirit, as it gets you alert to receive more of the word that's coming. Muttering, speaking under your breath. It's like you are hungry and ready for something. And he said, Moses, here am I. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not high hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. How many of us believe that in meetings, these are holy places? When believers gather, it's called holy. So, can we say that right in God's presence is holy ground? Yes, we can say that. So, in holy grounds, we know how to respond. And we know how to put away all things that make that meeting unholy. Now, holy might not necessarily mean white, right? It's just something that is separate. That's what is called holy. Right? So there is a sacrilege, or there is a separateness to God's meetings. He calls that holy. Now, when we say holy, it doesn't mean the thing is white, because, I mean, obviously, not all Bibles are white, but we still say they're holy Bibles, and some Bibles are red, and they're still holy Bibles, right? So when we say holy, it's one that's set apart. So when we say the Bible is a holy Bible, we're not saying that the Bible has never sinned before, right? We're just saying out of many books, this book is distinct. It's separate. That's why it's called holy. So we have the Holy Bible. It's separate from other books. Amongst Christians, this book has no other book that has any other book compared to itself. So when we meet in meetings as well, when we meet in meetings, we must know that this ground that we stand on is holy ground. Now, oftentimes the things that constitute our meetings are holy things, holy actions, like rejoicings, like praying in tongues, like lifting up hands. These are holy activities in holy places. Some of you have never gone into a mosque before. Right? When you see Muslims go into places, they remove their sandals outside. And then they perform ablutions, and then they get into their prayer spots, and then they stand there quietly, and then they kneel. That's them calling the place holy. But the believer's definition of holy is not removing sandals, because those things are more of the flesh. The believer's understanding of what it means to be holy, right, in those sacred places or in those meetings, is to respect what goes on in the meeting. That's how you say this place is holy. Because if you're a Muslim, you couldn't come into that place dirty and not perform the ablution. But if you are a Christian, you can come in with a dirty shirt because you probably might have been caught up in something. But when we are rejoicing, your rejoicing means that you respect that meeting. Your lifting up of hands means that you respect that meeting. And that meeting is sacred, is a holy kind of meeting. So, oftentimes, he didn't speak until he had his attention. He didn't speak until he had it. He didn't show him the vision until he had the right response. So, right there, he says, put off your shoes from your feet, for this place is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, but he was afraid to look upon him. And the Lord said, I have seen truly the affliction of the people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their trackmasters, for I know their sorrows. So, you see that now, once God has his attention, he has his response, he begins to pour in what he plans to do. What he plans to do. What he plans to do. So in meetings, as we revere our meetings, right? We are going to have what God plans to do in the meeting happen. And you know, when we are in the right place, having the right hearts, God invites himself when we've not even invited him. And you know why? That's when we can begin to see glory meetings. He comes in unannounced. We don't need any introduction. There are even meetings you go in and say, today is a teaching meeting. Before you end up, everybody is lying on the floor, speaking in tongues, prophesying, sick are being healed. And he just leaves the place. Because the hearts are prepared and they're doing what he wants to do. So he just evades places by his own spirit. He does what he wants to do. Do you understand? So we must be in this kind of a position where God needs no formality. It's like the people are already prepared. The people know what it means to have him and to have him move. And besides, just in case you know, it's not every time he's moving. There are certain times he's actually moving. Kenneth Hagin calls it when the spirit gets moving. So there are times where you can say, oh, the spirit is moving. Those are times to jump in the flow. Those are times to rejoice. Those are times to prophesy. Those are times to lay hands. Those are times to just get off in faith and do what God wants you to do. So, you know, take off your sandals. Take off your pride. Take off the things that, see, if I show myself as being open by lifting up my hands because the word of God is blessing me, everybody's going to be looking at me. No, 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 no. 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 When I go into meetings, I don't care who looks at me. I don't care who looks at me. I don't care who thinks I'm something. In fact, it is when we actually begin to pray that you'll be wondering, hey, so this calm guy can actually pray. When we finish, you just see me calm walking around. Hey. In fact, that was what my Bible teacher said. So you don't look like what you just came to do. It's the same. So don't let anybody put shame on you because you are holy and you recognize what is holy and what is happening in a meeting. They don't recognize it, but you recognize it. They don't recognize it, but you recognize it. They don't, but you do. So, the Lord begins to speak as he gets Moses' attention. Moses is now beginning to hear things that the Lord is doing. In meetings, we'll begin to see things that the Lord is doing. Because we have been taught rightly. And we have been taught to respond. I remember someone calling me today. And she shared with me a dream. I mean, it wasn't a call, it was like a VN. I'm sure she's listening because I can see her. And she has a dream. I'm just using this because I was touched by that response. you know. And she has a dream, and apparently, in the dream, hands are being laid on her. And apparently, in the dream, she's suffocating to receive what the hands are being laid on her for. She says, no, I can't take it, I can't take it. She said, take it, you take it. Right? So she sees a dream of myself just laying hands on her. And I was touched because in that, she said, you told me that, I can't exactly repeat what she said, but she said something about, you told me that I can go and teach other people. The same way you've received the teaching grace, you can go and teach other people. Now, I was wondering to see what she was going to do. She said when she woke up, she looked for her phone. She started looking for her phone. She had to call her disciple and say, we need to have a teaching meeting now. That's responding. I was like, that is smart. That is really smart. She picks and she's looking for a disciple. That thing I've received in the dream. Now. We are putting it into effect. Now, you said, get. Please, come. I need to teach anything. Just teaching you. I'll just check up on you. I just want to teach you something. I felt, oh, that's some good response. That's some good response. And then I sent her a scripture. That's some good response. Right? I sent her a scripture. That's some good response. I'll show you another response. First Kings. That's some good response. She gets up and she's beginning to do what she had received in the dream. Yeah, that's some good response. It's like, please, come, let me teach you right now. Whether you like it or not, I'll teach you. Good response. And I'll not be shocked if she starts walking in it very effortlessly. I'll not be shocked. Because something is happening in our midst. Something great is happening. And people are receiving things. Yeah. And Solomon made affinity, 3 verse 1, with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of his building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem around about. Verse 2, listen to what's going on here. This is Solomon, all right? And he goes to offer out sacrifices into a temple. Verse 2, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. So it almost seems like the people that loved the Lord and wanted to sacrifice more to him went to do that in open spaces. There was no temple for the Lord, right? And Solomon loved the Lord walking in the statuses of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places, right? So he was burning incense in high places. High street places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. So Solomon is not having a place to offer God's sacrifice. And he just sacrifices them in a place that's quite elevated or separate from several other places. But they were not very good places, right? Then what happens is this. Is that in Gibeon, after Solomon had offered 1,000 burnt offerings, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him, a son to sit on his throne, as it is on this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant David king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great number of people, and that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. So he's giving out, you know, reverence to David his father, why he's been chosen, and what is the desire of his heart, right? Now he asks of what he needs. He asks of understanding. I'll teach on that sometime to come. That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great people? Right? So the speech pleased the Lord. And God said unto Abraham, I will give to you all that you have asked for. Now let's move on to verse 15, right? And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. This guy is so wise. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Now that's a dream. This thing is a dream. It's just a dream. I mean, it's nothing. But he wakes up from a dream and he knows how to respond to that dream that he had. So oftentimes, spiritual things oftentimes need responses. They need responses. So as the word of God comes, learn to respond rightly. Who is going to learn to respond rightly? So, back to Exodus chapter 3. Solomon takes off his shoes. Put off your shoes. Put off your shoes. Put off your shoes. Right? Is to be humble. It's to be humble. Oftentimes, in the north, when we go to places, we don't get in with like sandals. I'm sure it's the same in certain parts, but maybe we've just lost that tradition from time to time. But, you know, like where I come from, you're going to somebody's room, you remove your sandals. It's a sign of reverence and showing that I revere you and I revere what is going on. So oftentimes in meetings, when you see us lifting up our hands and someone is deciding not to, they're just proud. Yeah, just sheer pride. Yeah. So we are kneeling down. Someone decides, no, I'm not going to kneel down. Just sheer pride. But if we are going to be this proud, then God is not going to speak all what he wants to have in that meeting happen. But you're going to be free of pride. I'm telling you, if we can all become like children, eh? Ghana will be too small. Ghana is too small a place. I'm telling you, Ghana, to be too small a place. You know, campuses are opening to us. University campuses are opening. Vocational and technical campuses are opening. Teachers training campuses are opening. Nursing training campuses are opening. Campuses are going to open, and they are opening to us. Yeah, secondary schools will gradually open. So we need to have the right attitude so that we can receive. Campuses are opening. 1 Samuel chapter 3, NLT. 1 Samuel chapter 3, NLT. So you get to realize that you have to. Right? You have to. The word of God coming is your delight. Always excited. I'm always excited about God's word. Always excited. When you see me sitting down and listening, it always blesses me. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare. Could be likened to people not having to hear God's voice because they have the wrong response. God was silent over a period, but much more, I believe strongly, that if people are willing to hear of him more, he would have spoken. There were dark times, actually, devoid of God's word, but it came to Samuel. Now, in the boy Samuel served the Lord assisting Eli. Now, in those days, the message of the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes. Samuel replied.
Do you understand? Samuel replies. That's a response. When the word of God comes to you, say yes. Yes. Are you listening? You see, the things that I'm teaching you, they are needed. See, yes. Yes. So, as the word of God is coming to you, yes is a good response to have. Right? So, the word of God is coming to Samuel, and he says, Samuel says, yes, what is it? Right? He got up, and he ran to Eli. Here am I. Did you call me? I didn't call you. Eli replied, go back to bed. So then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. Right? So he is responding. You see that there is a yes in word and there is a yes indeed. So he is responding. Samuel understands and knows how to respond. So he got up again and he went to Eli. Here am I. Did you call me? He says, I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down. And if someone calls again, what should he do? Say yes. Say yes. Yes, I am listening. Yes, I can hear you say. Remember, the word of God is coming, and it's coming through the lips of your pastor. Yes, sir. Right? So, someone goes to bed again. The Lord speaks. He says, yes, your servant is listening. Someone replies, speak. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm just imagining if Eli was not there. I believe that, as he said, Samuel, if Samuel was just that guy who just looks around, like, hey, and he says to himself in his mind, what's going on? Sleeps again. Samuel, I heard my name. Hey, this is very strange. But I heard someone call me. But nobody too is here. He sleeps again. Samuel does not know how to respond. I wouldn't be shocked if the Lord didn't say anything again. Because that's how the Holy Spirit is. Oftentimes when he tells you one or two things over and over again, you see that he becomes mute at it. So Samuel could have missed out on God's voice if he didn't have the right response. So always learn how to respond. Are you listening? I showed you a story of Elizabeth and Mary a few days back on how Mary responded. How she responded. What a blessing it is. You're responding rightly. Listen, the things I'm teaching you in the next meeting, let me see changes. Let it be very palpable and very visible. Oh, this thing I'm teaching is working in their lives. This thing I'm teaching is working. I can see working in their lives. The people are on fire. My people are on fire. My people love the Lord. My people know how to draw out. I should have, you know, next time when Pastor comes around, he should leave with a testimony that, your people are another kind of people. And it happens. Happens. And anybody that comes around, your people got it. They've got it. Know how to respond. Are you listening? Know how to respond. In a teaching meeting, know how to respond. Now, I'm not saying all teaching meetings are going to need responses. Like I said yesterday, some teaching meetings actually need rapt attention. Everybody's attentive. And it's some teaching meetings, you can't even shout. You can't even... No, you just need that rapt attention. But all of these are going to be very necessary at its rightful place. So be a people that knows how to respond. Be a people that knows how to be easily impressed. Sometimes when people even ask you, why are you easily impressed about this? They are not people who know how to walk in the supernatural. Me, now I see miracles every day. Unless, of course, I don't meet a case that needs a miracle or demands a miracle. See, everything. It's my normal life. Right? So, I want you to have this. And let me tell you, don't let anybody deceive you that it is wrong to follow a man. All the things I'm teaching you, don't be deceived. You will not know these things if I didn't teach you. That's part of following. You have just been seeing some very firebranded people as fanatics. So these people are fanatics. They are easily impressed. But they don't know that. That's why you are not seeing anything. Because you are not easily impressed. You are not seeing anything. Then you come and prophesy. You can't prophesy. You are not seeing anything. You are not doing. You are not easily impressed. You are not. But there's nobody here like that. We're going to be people that are easily impressed. We know how to respond. We know how to respond. We know how to respond. We know how to work a miracle. Sometimes, responses are even seen in what you say after you have left the meeting. Pastor tells you things are easy for you. Don't go back and say, Charlie, things are hard. I was working with Ivan and Kwame. When we needed some things and then God did something, we found money on the floor. If they remember what happened, is that when we left the place, we met one guy who approached us in speakings. And he said, if we are still there, then Papa, ask them what I said. I said, me and your dear mommy. It's not hard for me. I mean, everything is easy for me. I just told him, I mean, everything is easy for me. Yeah. Not me. If you are saying it for yourself, just say it for yourself. Don't come and add me. So there is that kind of ease. And we know how to respond. We know how to respond. We know how to take our pastor's words seriously. It's like, my pastor said this. It is like that. It's like that. It's like that. My pastor said this. Oh, no. It's like that. It's like that. It's like that. We've received these words. It's like this. That's all. We don't have any contemplations.
variations. Let me tell you, as you follow, you are being made into something great. I'm telling you, your friends will see you and they'll envy you, they'll say, yeah, why you just follow? But they know something has changed. They know, they'll just say, ah, why are you following this small boy? Why are you listening to him? Why are you letting him influence? But you know what you are receiving. Something has changed. This guy, something has changed. Something has changed. Can we have more Prophet Pascals around? That's what God is going to do. You see, he just chooses one and he duplicates them. That's what Pastor told me to lie. He said, lay hands on them because we want to have more Prophet Pascals around. We want to have more. More. There's more. More around. We are going to see it. Are you listening? We are going to see it. Are you listening? We are going to, this thing, we are going to see it. It's like we're going to places and they'll say, Prophet Pascal smells on you. Somebody say, he's trying to teach them. You're not wise. Even right here, we see in the story, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why didn't God say, I'm God, God myself? So, we are going to have this happen. And I started seeing it. I started seeing it in one of our meetings. I looked at one of the ladies and I said, this person looks like me. And I wasn't saying it because she looks facially like me. She doesn't look facially like me. I was like, this girl has me. Yeah. This girl has me. I can see. When I see her, I said, this is me. I don't know why, but I just think this is me. Right? And we're going to have more. More. Who believes that? We're going to have more. More. Plenty. Plenty. More. Plenty. Many of your friends will start to call you prophet. It's okay. I listen, don't say I'm not a pro. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. When they call you, just smile. Don't just accept. But when they just call, just smile. God is turning you into another man. Many of you, your dreams, prophecies you have received, you become a great man of God. It's here, is here, is here. I'm telling you, don't go anywhere. It's here, it's right here. Yeah. It's here. It's right here. Right here. Right here. Some of you get into meetings and you begin to minister and they wonder, is this the person we knew? No, it can't be so. Can't be so. It's not so. It can't be so. It can't be. It's not true. Like, that's what you get. And that's what you get. The ladies, you get into place, you begin to minister, they say, can't be, but we knew you. We too. So no, we are another man. We are now fishers of men. Just like Jesus calls disciples, says, come, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll make you fishermen. I'll make you accountants. I'll make you doctors. I'll make you fishers of men. You become ministry people. Ministry people. Say, can the anointing be, it can't be transferred like this. It can't be transferred, I'm telling you. You know what? God told me many years ago, one of the very few times I heard him, said, I'll use you. And if he's going to use me, he's going to use all the people that are going to be with me. That's the using. And I trust God for this. So that's why I'm teaching you all of these things you need so that you can begin to get ready for what God is going to do. God is going to do great and amazing things. And this nation will never remain the same again. I'm telling you, the enemy thought he has wiped out schools. He has wiped out the youth. He has wiped out people. He's like, he's just getting into them, you know, as well. And those that probably are thinking they are serious, they're not really serious like that. No. We are here. We are here, and God is raising us. We're here, God is raising us. Many of you be sent to other places. Many of you be sent as missionaries.
Many of you be sent to other cities. Many of you be sent to other campuses. I'll start sending some of you to campuses. Go and do something for God. Go and do something for God. Eh? Go and do something. We are all doing something for God. We can't all be at a place. Obviously, we'll come together when we have meetings, and general Sunday meetings, and general weekday meetings. Outside weekdays, you can go to campuses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody's going to get busy. Are you listening? Busy. The ladies, get busy. It's not just about getting married. Get busy for the Lord. Do something. Discipleship is yours. So you can become very busy to stay up and down, up and down. That's knowing something and doing something for God. So know how to respond. Back to our teaching. Know how to respond. Know how to receive. Are you listening? Know how to receive. Know how to receive. As the word of God comes, receive it. As the word of God comes, receive it. And the things that I teach you, they are very divine. They are divine. I was saying to myself today, it was just an observation I made, is that, you know, while I listen to the teachings, I see this in very few. I'm telling you, I see this in very few. I've listened to other people. I see this in very few. Yeah, it's just that my heart begins to open up. I don't know. It's like my heart begins. I'm listening to the same teachings I teach you. My heart begins to open up. It's like I feel my heart softer than usual. I'm like, hey, what's happening? What's going on here? And yesterday, I'm probably listening to someone. My heart begins to open up. I can feel it softer than usual. I don't know if there's anybody who has that experience. If you have that experience, let me see my hand. It's like your heart begins to open up. Yes, it gets softer. It's like your heart begins to... it's an unexplainable thing. You almost can feel your heart. I don't know if there's... You can feel your heart. And let me tell you, it's in that opening. All right, it's in that opening of the heart that you start to become supernatural. I know it when I'm in that mood to flow in the prophetic. It's that softness of the heart. It's like the heart now becomes very soft. You can almost palpably feel that there's a softness to it. Yeah. And it's very supernatural. Yeah, even today, I was listening to yesterday's teaching on just response. By the time I got down from the bus, I said, my heart is soft. I can, and it's not everyone that I listen to many people. It doesn't happen like that. It's like this one, there's a melting, It's like your heart becomes open. When you get into places and you need to hear God, it becomes easy. You need to flow in the supernatural, it becomes easy. Yeah, it's very supernatural. It's very supernatural. It's very supernatural. It's very, very supernatural. So, we're going to... That's the teaching gift. I believe me, I've received it too. I don't know about you, if you want to receive it or so that when you also speak to people, is that their hearts become soft. There's a supernatural working in men's hearts. Yeah. Supernatural working. You can catch it. You can catch it. You can catch it. You can catch it. I'm telling you, you can catch it. When you begin to also say something, it's like it will enter and break away fallow hearts. You can. It's yours. It's yours. May have received it. Eh? Sometimes when I listen, I literally feel a presence. Like, wow, this is the Holy Ghost. Right, searching through the audios and the teachings. So you can also walk in this. You can walk in it. You can walk in it. It's going to get even more intense. More intense. More intense. I'm telling you that times to come, people listen to teachings. They will... They will just blow up. More intense. So I want you to join in what God is doing. Yeah. In the last days, the mountains of the house of the Lord shall be exalted above every other mountain. And nations shall troop into this mountain. And they shall come and say, come, let's go in. For they shall teach us the ways of the Lord. So you join in. Listen, we are very strong on the supernatural. Over here, we are strong on the supernatural. We see, we hear, we know, we can prophesy. Our sickness, we lay hands, they will disappear. Disappear. They'll disappear. They'll disappear. They'll disappear. They'll disappear. Disappear. They will disappear. Sicknesses will disappear. And that's how many of you are going to be having several hundreds of people. Because one miracle will cause people to gather. It's like, we've not seen this. We've not seen this. We've not seen this. One miracle, one. You don't need to, one. One. And God will intentionally, strategically put you in places that need those breaking thoughts. And then it will happen. Breaking thoughts. One day you can have 2,500 people gather. I'm telling you. One day. One day. One day. But you see, all of these things that I'm teaching you, be careful that you become high-minded. When God starts to do these things, be careful that you become high-minded. So now we can, because not many people know that many of the things that are happening because of the grace of God for what He has called me to do. Yeah, that grace is very transferable. So you watch it. Because God's going to be doing great things. Tell me, God's going to be doing great with everybody. So, we're just going to walk in that. Understand? See, it looks like me, I'm not really tall, I'm not really fat. But it looks like I have tall people around me. And it's like, who is this small boy? It's like, oh, this small boy is a small boy. Because God started also doing something with you. You forget quickly. Forget quickly how hands were laid on you. And when it happens, like, we don't talk, we don't say anything. We're just there, we're watching you. Watching you. Quietly. We don't say, yeah, I'm not saying anything, I'm just watching you. And when you go and crash. And then you come back. Say, we didn't know this was... That's not going to be anyone's story in Jesus' name. It's going to be low-minded and humble. Every time you're humble. And don't allow people to despise what you so much honor. Don't allow it happen. Don't allow it happen. Don't allow people to despise. When you see dishonor towards your pastor, you frown on it. Don't smile around it. Understand? Frown on it. You're knowing how to respond, You're responding rightly. In Jesus' name. Amen.